welcome to the July 2022 Shares a Waffle. Now, where we are actually trying to realign our mid-month show and maybe make things a little bit different from what you've heard before. With me this mid-month, we've got Claire, we've got Ben and Becca, but we're also joined by Jason. It's somebody who is actually needs no introduction, so I won't bother. But to regular listeners, I will introduce him. So welcome to Jason Canapp, fresh from his final after hours, final accidentally derivative, and from his own realignment of his lunch break shows too. Jason, there's an ongoing theme here. If we're not here for the August mid month waffle, we'll know what's happened. But we're so glad you can join us, and actually this time, it's not to discuss Claire's holiday.
Thank the maker.
Claire's trip part two. No,
Definitely not. But no, it's good to get you back, and actually this is, for us, this is what we want the mid-month show to be like, and instead of introducing new guests and changing it every single month, we want it to become just that little bit more familiar and actually getting to chat with people that, you know, we've probably chatted with far too many times previously, but it's the whole point of waffling. So welcome back. It's lovely.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here with you guys.
Yeah, always is.
Most of
it always is. That's the first one, Claire. I'm going to start keeping count. That's it.
I'm keeping count.
Did I roll my eyes?
Yeah, no. It's how many times Jason has a little dingers to all of.
Oh, you're assuming I was talking about Claire. That's fine. Yeah, that's good.
Still need a counter in the corner of how many times Claire
rolls her eyes. Yeah. I mean, I won't point out that it's been, I don't know, 2 years since I've been around. Well, I guess it was. I mean, when we're not talking just about Claire.
But definitely not.
That's besides the point. Yeah. It's good to see you, John, and Becca, and Ben, and also Claire.
I think Claire's put herself on mute. That's it. That's probably the best way to treat
all
it.
Blessings, trust me.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. What we'll do, right, before we even go and expand on what we're going to enjoy talking about during this show, I think it would be really unfair for Jason to miss out on our infamous carousel of questions, Mark 2. Because I did have to look back to last month, and we didn't put him through that whole, the turmoil.
I thought you had abandoned that ridiculousness.
No, not at all. Because we've got some harder questions just to really annoy you. Because we know how much you found it difficult with the first lot.
And you were the first guest to be challenged on our
you're first. You were our first ever Shares a Waffle, and you're our first guest on our revamped Shares a Waffle.
And really?
And Jason's going to be the last guest.
He's going to be the last guest. Perfect. I like
Jason. They broke the mold, Canap. Well, this is going to be a disaster, but let's... when I asked Claire earlier, I said, is there anything I should do to prepare for the show?
We don't prepare anything.
She didn't mention this at all.
Did I not mention it?
No. Oh. No, you didn't. That's okay.
It's fine. What a shame.
I'm equal to the task.
For the final time, I can say, just go with your heart. We won't think anything less of you.
I still think every time you say that, John, you're going to say, go with the flow.
I'll start singing if you're not. No, it's not good for people listening in the car when I start singing. No, it really isn't. So I'm a solo car singer. I think that's the best one. Right, so here we go, Jason.
Okay.
If you get stuck along the way, just make it up. Because
lie. Just. Yeah.
John, is that what you did for your carousel of questions?
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to that because I still feel I was badly done to in the start of July show because when I was asked exactly the same question, Jason, somebody, not mentioning names, Claire, made the comment that it could have been a 2-hour epic. And actually,
it was four years.
I actually thought I gave quite succinct answers.
I offered to put timestamps on the recording so we could get to the actual answers.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to kick off with the first question.
Go on, Ben.
Okay. When did you first step into a Disney park?
1976. I mean, I don't know what I could. Maybe I was carried. But I think at some point my feet did touch the ground. But yeah, 1976.
Which park was it?
There was the only park. It was Magic Kingdom. That was it. Yeah. That was it.
Wow. There you go. Is that it? You're
yes, 1976 wasn't
it? More away than that. Just, I mean, see, this is where I get it all wrong, isn't it? I don't come up with just like a single answer like that and then expect. Yeah. I just sort of.
Like an was it award of the answer?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Story, yeah. Yeah.
You just did. You want more? I'll give you
what
more
was
of it.
The weather like on that day.
Well, it was actually chilly. It was chilly a little bit for Florida by Florida standards. It was the week of Thanksgiving, 1976, and we were wearing jackets for some reason. Yeah, and mercifully, I can't say the word. I can't say the word. Sassafras. No, thank goodness we were not wearing the short shorts of the 70s at the time because it was cool.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I have no pictures of myself in the short shorts that I would have been wearing otherwise.
But it would have been, given early 70s, it would have been them long socks as well, that really sort of...
Oh, the tube socks were definitely on. Yes. They were just covered.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. That yeah, was, yeah.
Oh, yeah. With the stripes. Made you run faster, John. Faster.
Yeah.
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 And then they got rid of the stripes and put a tick on them and said, just do it. And everybody did run faster after
that's
that.
A swoosh.
Oh, it's a swoosh. That's a tick.
It's a tick.
It's a swoosh. It's a swoosh. A Nike swoosh.
I said I didn't even say the name. I didn't even give him a shout out.
Well, there goes your sponsorship with Adidas.
High tech, I think, isn't it?
Good. Yeah. That's it, man. That's about the level, isn't it? Right. I'm gonna move it on. So here we go. Which Pixar character do you most relate to?
Oh, Pixar character. A Pixar character that I most relate to. Oh. Oh, why? Do people really have an answer for this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, am I supposed to say Woody or something? Or am I supposed to say, like, I don't...
You feel that you... Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, this is the least prepared for any question that I've ever been. Jack-Jack? Hey, what do you think? I don't know. The fixer? The collector? I don't know. I don't know. This is a weird.
Yeah.
Wally?
Didn't I come up with this question?
I can't remember.
Sully? I don't know. It depends on the time of day, really.
So while you have about 30 seconds worth of thinking time, Jason, I just put me on mute. I've got to say, guys, this is probably the one question out of this whole list which has caught the most people out. And actually,
yeah,
I think is the one question that maybe we should just use it as one of those questions to ask everybody who comes onto the show in the future. Because actually... You really do catch people out.
It really makes
Jason,
you think.
Is that enough thinking? Is that enough it's thinking time for you?
Well, I guess it wouldn't be appropriate to say Sid. Maybe. Oh. No. Yeah. I mean, Bing Bong comes to mind. But he gets lost in nothing. I don't want to say Bing.
Yeah.
Well, are they all... Ben, I hate to fill you... They're all imaginary. I mean, I don't want to be the one to break it to you.
You're telling me Buzz and Woody aren't real?
Well, I don't know. I'm shaped like Mr. Potato. get confused like Buzz. Although I don't speak Spanish, I have no Spanish mode. This is a really difficult question. I don't know.
If you'd been prepared, wouldn't it?
I don't even know if being prepared would help because
it took me about three months to come up with my answer for this question.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so this is normal what I'm experiencing right now, is what you're saying?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Totally.
It's a horrible question.
Yeah. Maybe Mike Wazowski.
If you move your microphone slightly up.
It's the inner Billy Crystal in you, isn't it? That's what it is.
Maybe. I don't know. I've named enough characters that...
One of the above.
Right. Syndrome.
What I like is that some of those characters have been the villains and have been evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's like I said, time of day matters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bet you mm-hmm. all with a fun and answer that will.
I think so.
Otherwise, it's going to get painful. Next question: which is your favorite bathroom on property?
Oh, that's easy. It's the men's room in Animal Kingdom Lodge, downstairs next to the Cape Town Lounge. Done. That's the best one.
Easy one.
Second best one is the one on the convention level of the Contemporary, back behind to sort of the other opposite side of the check-in for California Grill.
Wow, this feels like a top 10 coming out. You know,
I think we need to revisit our bathroom episode.
I know.
Third would be the Wilderness Lodge at the down in the just outside the Carolwood Pacific Room at the in the DVC building.
Maybe this could be a Waffler's Wednesday and going videos.
If you spend as much time on property as I do, it's important to know these things.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. What I was thinking, Jason, is like since you've got a bit of time on your hands in the next few weeks, you could just write a book. Get a book out there. Just dead easy.
Well, I do have that idea for that app.
Where to go pee at Walt Disney World.
The one called the Can app.
There you go. That's sorted.
Perfect.
Sorted.
So, what is your favorite Disney mountain?
Oh, that's difficult because, like, I have a visual favorite, I have an attraction favorite.
Of course.
I don't know if she said of course because she's like, of course he's going to make it complicated.
You're doing the Claire thing of like. I can have three answers. I'm allowed to have three answers. Rather than the one that the rules stipulate.
I mean, I think that my favorite, if you had to pin me down, it would be Everest. But I love the Matterhorn. So I'll go with Space Mountain, isn't it?
Jiggly jaggly. It's not the most comfortable attraction.
No, but it's the original. You know, it's the OG mountain.
Is it the one that causes back pain?
Or fixes it, depending on where your starting point.
Yeah, it depends on the track and so forth. I don't know. I love Everest, though. I love it. I feel like I'm disappointing you with these answers. No, not at all,
because there isn't any right answer.
Really are you sure?
No, definitely not.
I might have a list, but...
okay, next question. I've got it. Who is your favourite villain and why?
On this show? Or...
Sorry.
It's just Claire's reaction.
Do you
see, I told you, Claire, you were the perfect one to to ask Jason the question. I just knew that would be the answer.
I don't
No, Jason, not in this show.
In, so...
In Disney villain.
The Disney
Bob Chapek.
Yeah.
I think he's to be mentioned every time.
Yeah.
I think if character-wise, I think my favorite is another old school one. It's going to be Captain Hook. Like, my favorite, I think my favorite Disney character, not that you're asking this in general, like, is Peter Pan. And so I think the counterpart there is Captain Hook. I just he's not the most, I don't think he's the most like villainous villain by any stretch. But there's something when you see Captain Hook in the park, you know, whether it's on a float or walking around, which you don't see in Disney World, but in Disneyland sometimes, it's just so cool. It's so cool. He's larger than life, and he's like, I don't know. He's kind of got this like almost friendly, approachable sense to him, demeanor, yeah. and but you know, he's Captain Hook. I don't know, and I think he's misunderstood. You know, really. Plus, yeah, I think it's Captain Hook.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's a good choice.
That's a great answer. Yeah. Love that.
Okay.
I think as well. I don't know if anybody remembers. They used to do them. Was it the Pirates and Pals cruise from the Contemporary?
Yeah.
And you got to meet Hook and Smee before you cruise.
They were doing that right up till closing. Yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hopefully amazing, that comes back.
Amazing. Oh, that'd be great if it did, because mm-hmm. it was. And I won't give away the spoiler of what happens after the cruise.
I know, I've been there to witness that. It's very cool.
It's excellent. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. It's good. Anyway, next question.
Which Epcot World Showcase country is your must do?
This is like picking a favorite child. Daytime or nighttime?
Oh,
both.
Yeah.
You can have both of that.
Oh. To eat or to relax in?
We're going to
cover all 11.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. how to get out of the question. Answer everything.
I think my favorite overall pavilion is... I think it's Morocco. It's circuitous. It's, you know, it's romantic. It's got these little almost hidden rooms to explore. It doesn't get a lot of traffic. When it's open, the building for Restaurant Marrakesh, that space is gorgeous. And the pavilion itself is full of history. They have those plaques up that you can take the time to read and learn something. I think the level of authenticity there is higher than in most of the other pavilions. It's a space that feels very different from day to night. The ambient sounds are still the classic ambient sounds, and you can hear the market, and you can hear, is that Aladdin? You know, in the voices coming from the apartments above, and I just love that. I just love that space. That being said, during the day, the Canada Pavilion is just gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, to explore and to sit and enjoy it and, to get wet. It's great. It's great. I don't know, I could keep going on, but I think if you said you got to pick one, it would be Morocco, which may be weird because it's not my favorite in terms of the restaurants. It's not, there's no attraction there. But the space itself is just, I think, so true to form in terms of what Epcot is supposed to be.
Plus
they'll bring the belly dancers back at some point.
You've been doing so well up until that point there, Jason.
I was surprised there was no mention of Mexico or France.
Or Japan.
Well,
Yeah.
That was next on the list. So that was, you know, that was
those are next. I mean, those are special very for specific yeah. reasons. So but in terms of the overall, it would be yeah. it would be Morocco, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you hit the nail on the head there with the fact there is no particular attraction there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is again going back to something I know we've discussed going way back is the fact that if you are a visitor, like our good friend Sammy was, and ignored all of the pavilions around Epcot. Morocco is the type of place, because there's no attraction, you are more than likely to just keep walking through
right.
and ignore an awful lot of what is behind there. And again, another thing that people miss is the fact that the actual detail in the fact that we've got the Hollywood Tower Hotel away in the distance in the studios, but the back of that has actually been designed so that it fits in with the theming of the Moroccan part of Epcot, which most people don't believe yet. And then you take them and you say, look, there it's there. Like, oh yeah, never knew that. Anyway, I'll move on. Favorite land in the Magic Kingdom?
It's got to be Frontierland. Because that includes Tom Sawyer Island. Mm. In Frontierland at night, when it's late, if you can get there during the extended hours and wander around, it is like a ghost town. And yeah. the music's still playing, and you've got that boardwalk to yourself. It's just a really special space. Yeah, I love it. I love everything about Frontierland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good place to watch the fireworks from as well.
It is.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a good place to try to broadcast the fireworks from, as it turns out. The cellular connectivity is a little hit or miss there. But.
Favorite nighttime parade or fireworks spectacular?
Of any time?
Any time.
At Walt Disney World.
At Walt Disney World.
Oh, it's going to be Illuminations. I mean, does anyone say anything different?
Ben, you got an opinion to offer at this point?
Yes. I mean, it's not my favourite, but we've had this discussion before that we only saw it from 2013 onwards, so we only saw probably not the Illuminations that everyone remembers in the way it was. And for me, Happy Ever After was always my favourite.
That's understandable. Yeah, the best show period is World of Color, I think. Yeah. But that's Disneyland or Disney California Adventure.
If anyone's intrigued as to more of Ben's answers on that, it's just dig out the Wafflers Wednesday from the 29th of June, where we spent nearly an hour and a half talking about fireworks spectaculars, and we.
Oh, I thought you meant about Happily Ever After. You spent an hour and a half.
No, we went into quite a lot of detail.
Didn't we cover Harmonious in like 30 seconds?
We did. Yeah,
I think we gave it a fair shot.
And I gave the analogy that so fireworks shows are a bit like Doctor Who, that everyone has their own favourite. You know, as you grow with Doctor Who, you have your own Doctor that sits with you more comfortably, and. I think Harmonious is the Sylvester McCoy, we all know that. So each as you grow up and you see different shows, they resonate with people differently.
Each one regenerates into a different
one. Each one regenerates, yeah. They are.
Like a lizard.
The Slitheen.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever... Okay.
It's not at all. It makes sense.
It is a very British analogy.
Oh, it's...
A lot of people in the chat understood it as well.
But
That was interesting, yeah. Yeah.
I have a feeling Jason's never watched Doctor Who.
I have accidentally. There was a time when we only had four channels, and Doctor Who was playing on PBS or something. That's our public broadcasting. Anyway, yeah. When I was a kid, I grew up with the Doctor Who had the curly hair. I don't know which one that was.
Tom Baker.
Tom
Baker is the Illuminations of the Doctors.
Oh well, then see. Well, there you go. That makes sense. But it was weird. That was a weird.
It was terrifying when you were a child.
Watch some of the newer ones. Not the really new ones, though, from like 2006, 2007.
The David Tennant
era.
The David who?
Tennant.
David Tennant.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. There was it. Anyway.
We've got away from the carousel of questions completely.
Come on, Ben. Okay. Let's get to the end. Come on, Ben.
Favourite restaurant outside the parks? I know where this is going. Or I think I know where this is going.
This is complicated. I mean, right now, I would say Jiko. I need to get back to Flying Fish because that was my favorite restaurant pre-pandemic closing. I've been back and I didn't like it as much anymore, but I need to go back and give it another shot. But Jiko's great.
Can I push you further off and go further and go off-site?
Off-property.
If you're totally off-property, where would you...
There's restaurants off-property?
I'm guessing he's going to
stuff a bagel.
Restaurants.
Yeah.
This is more difficult. I love Ravenous Pig. Although I haven't been there since I stopped eating a lot of meat, which could be difficult at Ravenous Pig now. I don't really leave the bubble, John.
Okay.
Why would you do this? I do know that there are rumors that these places exist, outside. Most of the time, honestly, this is the God's honest truth. Most of the time when I am eating off property, it's because I'm doing Uber Eats or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, going to the local sushi joint or something like that. It's not, I'm trying to think if there's any place that's like knocked my socks off property. Domu's really good, but it's a pain in the butt to go to because you can't make reservations and you got to get there before they start the seating and it's a whole ordeal. And, what about you? What's your favorite place? Because now I need to try it.
You'll have to listen back to all the shows where we've been asked all of our carousel of questions. There you go.
Did you catalogue it somewhere?
We're not going to give it all away.
July. I think Claire's was...
It was the first one, so I must have been February.
Oh, I know. Hers is going to be Miller's Ale House or something like that, probably. No? Mine what is was. It? Costco? The Costco hot dog.
You know how much I love hot dogs.
With mustard.
Oh, wow.
Is John's really Miller's Ale House?
Yeah.
I've never been there.
Oh, fabulous place. Especially when you want to watch live sport. That's more than anything else. You can watch live sport from throughout the world.
360 degrees of live sport.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, a little F1 action. There. Yeah. Great. Yeah.
Next time we're in Florida, Formula One's on. I know where we'll be.
Yeah. Go on, Claire. Let's wrap it up.
Okay, so the last question on this carousel of questions is, do you prefer Food and Wine or Flower and Garden Festival?
Well, I think the new answer is going to be Food and Wine. Previously, I may have said Flower Garden, but I've been disappointed in it. And I think Food and Wine is just unabashedly about the food and wine, whereas the other festivals, like, they pretend to be about other things, but it's really about the food and wine and drinks and stuff. Whereas Food and Wine is just like, look, this is what you get. We're not going to float any little flower plants in the pond. We're not going to, like, you know, pretend to have special art out there that, oh, by the way, you can just buy from that other place anyway. I think that, and the menu's looking good. So there's that.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's a salute to all festivals, but mostly food and wine.
Definitely. Yeah. Jason, you've actually managed to get to the end of the carousel of questions. A massive thank you for sharing all of those amazing
hard
answers.
Questions.
Mm. Yes.
Really tougher than the first set.
Yeah.
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 But I tell you what, having successfully navigated that part, you've actually mentioned within some of your answers some of the bits that we really want to go on and talk about for the rest of this show, and that's the incredible sounds that sometimes they just creep into your psyche when you visit Disney parks, sometimes subliminally, sometimes very deliberately, and yet someone who kind of closes themselves off to this piece of Imagineering, you know, be it the fact that they're on the phone and they're rushing for the next Lightning Lane or the next reservation they've got for dining, they possibly won't even recognise that it's deliberately put into the park. And it's certainly something I know is very close to your heart. And I think more than anything, I'll put soundscapes out there as well from the very beginning, because if anybody hasn't heard soundscapes, which is one of Jason's little things on the side that you've been pushing across, it is amazing, because actually, particularly in the UK, when you can't get there, and you actually put your headphones in, and you are taken to a place and a time, and actually it just, the whole thing comes together, and it is just the most amazing feeling. So for the next part of the show, we're going to take a little bit of time to just take you to some of these places, some of these little moments that maybe they might be top of your list for your next trip to Florida, or it might end up being one of those things as I never realised that actually happened, because for many people they don't hear it, and actually this is why we thought as a show this is something so good to actually share with people. Now Ben has got a list of many, many different things. Now, Ben's going to play a little snippet. So if you may be in the car with the family, and you maybe a bit competitive like Claire's family, and mine, I hasten to add, because I do the same. See who can guess what this is first.
Yeah, that's the sound of home.
Yeah, takes you straight back.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting, John, that you said that people might be unaware of the sounds. I think I'm really aware of them, but because they're part of the whole picture, they're part of that 4D immersiveness of the experience and the Imagineering, you can't necessarily tease them out from the visual, from, you know, the smell of the turkey leg or whatever it is that's around you. Actually, when you start listening to them in isolation, you can then bring yourself back to all the rest of it. And I think it's, you can look at a picture and you actually, do I hear it? Do I smell it? Do I experience it? I don't know I do, but if I listen to the sound, then I think that actually all of those other senses slot into place. And I think that's the unique thing about, like you're saying about soundscapes and the fact that, you know, you put your headphones in, you've got 3D binaural sound.
Yeah.
And you are in that space. We're not going to experience that on this particular podcast because of the fact that we're not broadcasting in that way. But I think there is something about being able to hear something and just be in that point with all the other bits slotting in.
But they will be able to hear it. I mean, if this is broadcast in stereo, then you're good to go. And that's the beauty of the binaural sound, is that you can, through the magic of technology that's existed for decades, it's still magic. You can be in a space and you're just using stereo sound because of the way it's recorded. It sounds three-dimensional, and it's amazing. And it's, and that one you play, I don't know if we want to give away the answer or not. Is anyone stumped by that? No.
No.
Yes.
Come on.
No. I mean, it's Big Thunder Mountain.
And
given the distance from it, it sounds like we're probably standing on Tom Sawyer Island. At least that's what I like to believe in my head. It fits into this thing that we've said with what I'm trying to do with soundscapes and here with the magic and so forth. But it's a little funny thing, but say, you know, a tranquil moment, a cascading waterfall, a gentle breeze, the occasional runaway mine train. That's our happy place. Like, I mean, that and that's the beauty of these Disney spaces. And I'm so glad that we're talking about this.
Yeah. There's something really characteristic about that clickety-clack. You know, you hear the whoosh and the, you know, in my mind, even though we've got no visual with that, I'm immediately watching the train going around the corner going into the tunnel. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's there.
And when it's not there, the absence of that sound changes the feeling of the space, right? Yeah. When the riverboat's not running, when the mine train's not going, when the railroad's not going, there's certain sounds, and I'm not just talking about the music tracks throughout the parks, because that's also really weird when that's not when you have a particular area of the park that's just not running the music. It's something's missing. You know, it's like a dish without salt or something. It's like it's not fully there.
I don't think I've experienced an area without the music running. I don't remember having.
It's very strange. We did
been somewhere and thought trip. There's no sound.
We
there's
did the extended hours for not extended hours. We did Animal Kingdom till close. Mm. And it was Pandora still had the noises, the sounds that you expect. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you walk by the Tree of Life, it's silence. Just silent.
Oh, yeah.
That's weird.
Did we take any video of that bit? Oh, we might have some video.
I might have to put some in. But yeah, there was no sound.
In the waffler's arms.
In Disneyland, I walked into Disneyland without any ambient music playing. And right into Town Square on my last trip there. And it was inexplicably strange. Like, it's like walking into a church and not like I guess the opposite, like having a whole bunch of people carrying on or something. It's weird. Yeah. And yeah,
I tell you one thing, and this is certainly this goes back to even the last time I was in Magic Kingdom in 2019, but for the railroad not to be running, and it didn't matter where in the park you were at, but Once the sound had just gone to a certain bit, and you always knew where the train was mm-hmm. actually positioned within the park, and of a morning as you approach Magic Kingdom, to actually not to have that whole feeling of the steam train coming into the station, it was just such a massive part of Magic Kingdom. And the sooner that returns, the better, because I actually think the park itself has been, in a way, sort of missing a little bit of its everyday sort of wonderment, just purely based on the fact there's a steam train going round and round. Yeah. And you were so aware of it, and it has a noise all of its own as well. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a character missing from, it's like a main character being missing from a parade or something. As if imagine Goofy being gone for 3 years or 4 years. Like that's what it's like. It's not meant to be like this.
It's not even so just the sound of the train. It's like mm-hmm. the your attention, please, all the voiceover, you know, mm-hmm. I can, you know, in my head, I'm hearing that now. And that's like, you know, when you're walking under the station, you hear it. It's there. It's going on in the background. Yeah. And
all aboard.
Yeah, right. But it's not conscious. You're not going, oh, you might go, what's that? Especially if you've never heard it before. But it's just there in the background. It adds to the your position and your permanence of where you are in that particular moment.
And that is true. That is true of the sound, isn't it?
Is that when we were there last November, it's like I hadn't thought about the train. It was mainly in November I noticed it, was hearing the ferry boat.
Yeah.
Sort of the sound of that, I thought, wait, is that the train? Just because it sounded so similar.
You got excited, didn't you?
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. I'm at Wilderness Lodge and you hear it in the distance, you go, oh, is it packed? No.
Oh, dear. Go on, Ben, give us another sound. Okay. Just take us to another place.
Hey, what
from the first 2 seconds of that soundtrack.
And 64.9 miles an hour.
Right. That's what you're hearing.
Everyone's hat flying off because they weren't supposed to be wearing it.
Or everyone putting their sunglasses on as they go outside, which is obviously the official thing to do.
I have mine on through the whole thing.
I've done that. Yeah.
Well, I have to wear glasses, so it's either wear them in the dark or be blinded on the way out.
Of course, we're talking about Test Track for anybody who's listening. Yes. Still, it's like, what are they talking about?
Test Track. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That roar of the cars going around the outside track is so loud. And again, that's another weird thing when it's raining and they're not running and you're aware that that's not happening.
Or better still, before the rain arrives and they shut the ride because there's inclement weather incoming. And so if you're anywhere on World Showcase, you're like, hang on a minute.
Test Track's not running. It's going to rain.
It's looking a bit dark. It's a bit dark over there.
Is your elbow bothering you? No, I don't hear Test Track.
It's time to go for a beer.
So you don't need weather apps anymore. No rain.
No, not at all. No, Test Track's down. So come on, right, let's go.
We have totally done that before.
It's also cool when you realize, like, it's embarrassing that I didn't realize this for a long time, you leave the park when you're on Test Track. When you're on the track and you go out and you're doing the sort of jaunt, right? Leave the park which of course you have to do because there's not enough space otherwise to do the thing. But I think because you come back and then you zip around the building, you kind of get disoriented a little bit when you come out and,
You don't think you've left the park, but actually...
No, of course not. Right. Claire didn't realize we leave the park.
I didn't realize that.
Like, it is.
You need to look.
I can't make fun of her, because...
You need to look on Google Maps, because you can see it.
Yeah. It's that whole bit of just as you...
Don't do it now, because your internet will collapse.
Oh, dear. Going back.
Just keep
hitting us with another one. This is just so nice because actually all I'm envisaging is people listening to this and going, oh, that is my favourite place of all time. And and thankfully, and I know I've got to say big thank you, Jason, because you sent us the audio for this for all of this. And it's just like, it is such fun to actually be able to just sort of get that little snippet. And like I said to start with, you can start fighting the car with people.
It's beautiful to visualise it. You just hear the sound and it's like, I don't need to see the picture. It just takes me straight.
And actually sometimes this sounds weird. It's actually better not to see the picture because you experience it in a different way. So I was saying, you can look at a picture. Everyone can look at a photo on the phone or on the computer or, an old-fashioned album even. But it's alive. When you hear the sound, it's alive.
But that's the bit where this ambient sound is something that you've got your photo. I know we've talked a lot, particularly in some of our very first podcasts, we were talking about the joy of the music as you walked around the different parks. But this to me is the additional part of the whole Imagineering, and this is the bit I find is the bit that you actually go, I'm back in that particular spot, and even as you hear Test Track, you know exactly where you stand, and you hear that sound. And I think it's like the old paper fast pass terminal, the noise. And you're just like, wham! It just goes straight past you. It's beautiful.
It's just as soon as you enter that queue, just like you just see how long it is for the queue. You walk under, and it's like you hear that sound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's have a go at this one.
Oh, I know what this is.
You know what, I can hear? It's either grasshoppers or something kind of buzzing, chirping in the background.
It's like little cicadas or something. So it's an outdoor space. It sounds like there's a vehicle involved of some sort. But I can't, I mean, so I have a guess. That's what it is. I'm not looking at the list of stuff that I sent either, so I'm trying not to. Maybe I should cheat.
Well, I'm cheating. I can see the list. You've got it in front of me. Yeah.
I found that really difficult. Yep. That is one that
right towards the end. There's that noise just faintly in the background.
Yeah. Right in the end bit again. I'm going to be annoyed if I don't get it.
Oh,
wait, let me.
It's going to irritate me.
Is it a friendship boat?
I don't know.
Is it? Because I was expecting a ding.
Wilderness Lodge boat launch.
Okay.
Why it's windy. Why it's windy, because it's... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
that faint noise you heard was just a horn from one of the other boats.
Oh, I didn't hear the horn.
I just heard someone in the background mocking us.
There was a lot of laughing going on.
While they're sitting at geyser point.
Yeah.
I think we should give this one that's slightly more easier. I think this one would be easier.
I know this one. I can smell this one.
We need smell-o-vision for this one right. as well.
I really don't like the attraction very much. But the sound and the smell.
What's the attraction?
It's the speedway.
Speedway.
Sound and the smell of the speedway are so. Oh my goodness!
Obnoxious.
They take me. Yeah, they absolutely are. And you know the clouds of smoke and dirt and but the smell and the sound of the speedway absolutely put me bang in the middle of Tomorrowland.
That area would not be the same without that sound and those smells.
Well, that's the thing. If they change it to electric cars, they'll have to pump the smell in.
And they'd have to put the sound and speakers in as well.
I don't think they need to.
It could also be. It could actually be like Tomorrowland, then.
Yeah, true.
Autonomous vehicles and
it would sound like Tron.
Cars of the future and
it'll be there, and it'll work.
I really hope they do it. It's time.
Is this where like the batteries break? Is like you've run out of range and you don't get all the way around. It's like, you've got to drive economically all the way around.
What they will do is as they're at the loading and offloading platform, the same platform, it'll be a little charging station at the same time.
The competition is only one charging space.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, they could use the technology where the charging happens as you're going. So they could put the conductive charging, right? It's just laid in the track itself. So totally doable. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
I was also thinking what they might be able to do, though, is if you took your mobile phone with you, plug your mobile phone in, it would remove all the charge from your mobile phone. So you'd have to go and buy one of those fuel rods. Money making scheme, Bob. There you go. Another one for you.
You have to buy a fuel rod to get round the last part of the track.
That's
$30. There you go.
Given the current cost of gas and petrol
probably cheaper.
That could actually be a cheaper way of running the whole show, couldn't it?
Brilliant. Definitely.
Seriously,
this next clip is one of my favourites.
Oh god.
This is another area I can smell as well.
Aren't you instantly relaxed?
That actually gives me shivers. Yeah. Apart from the fact he's playing Frozen, but it's
just let it go.
I know, right?
So, of course, I think we're smack dab in the middle of Grand Floridian.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Oh.
The acoustics in that whole area, though, are just absolutely incredible. And to actually go from the pianist in the afternoon and then away back when they had the band.
Mm-hmm.
And the band were absolutely amazing.
I've got a video of that somewhere.
Oh, it was just beautiful. Yeah. And actually, I think I've got pictures or video. Joe's a drummer, and he just stood transfixed on the drummer of the band. And by the time they'd finished the set, the drummer came to find him because he actually they then started talking about drumming, as only drummers can. And it's just one of their moments. But it's just such a beautiful place to go and listen to music, mm-hmm. and the pianist just. And again, we make the assumption that everybody knows that you can go and stand in the Grand Floridian, get the monorail. If you're coming out of Magic Kingdom,
get the boat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, get even the better. Boat. Even better.
It's quicker, slightly.
It is.
To it is.
Yeah, because you have to do
it. Or you can walk.
You can walk as well.
How many can now walk, yeah? Yeah. But go and visit. Because you can. You know, loads of people don't think you can, even if you're staying off-site. You mm-hmm. are allowed to go and just soak up some of the ambience, the music, and like Becca said, the smell in there is something to behold as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel bad about going in there, go and grab some food at Gasparilla's.
Why would you feel bad about going in?
No.
Sometimes people are strange and they feel
all
out of place.
People are always strange.
People out of place and weird about going to visit a hotel they're not staying in.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, these spaces are meant to be visited, and it's because at the very least, it may inspire you to actually to buy a meal, potentially even stay there in the future. Yeah, these are spaces that are intended to be visited and enjoyed, but beyond the guests that are staying there. And I think that's an important point, John. By all means, Becca's advice to get something from Gasparilla Grill is also important. Like, you should, because it's delicious.
Good. The food's good.
Disney highly encourages it, especially around Christmas, when you think with all the gingerbread
houses. Oh, yeah, gingerbread.
And Easter?
Yeah.
With the eggs that they decorate. And,
all the chocolate decorations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This one we should remember from earlier in the show.
So I'm drifting to two different places with the sounds there. Both seem sort of eerie, spooky-ish, but I can't figure out whether we're in Liberty Square Haunted Mansion area or whether we're over by Pirates and that maybe in the queue area or something.
I think that the bugle in the background playing the post on this route.
Oh, you heard a bugle. Oh, so that would place us.
I think that we're on Tom Sawyer Island.
I think you're in a completely wrong park.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. There was a little hiss. There was a little hiss.
Yeah, I heard the hiss.
Two-thirds of the way through. Either.
Is it Everest?
Yeah.
It is.
And
what?
It's,
oh, my goodness.
It's the sound of the water. And it's also... That little hiss is just the brake mechanism.
Yeah.
And that... And it must be towards the end of the ride, I would think.
So we're over by... In the...
Everest? Really?
There's a second clip.
It was the little hiss. It was the hiss bit that got me. Go on.
That's
Ben.
The release of the.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You need the screams.
That's the one that everyone remembers.
Well, I didn't hear any music, though. I didn't hear any of the music from the area playing. That's interesting. Yeah. I guess the waterfall drowns it out, probably, from that space. But it's funny when you're playing this game and your mind can convince you that you're in this other space, and then that's... Uh-huh. That's all you're hearing.
Like I said, it was only the hiss of that braking mechanism, because otherwise I was actually thinking it was big thunder that we heard in the background, and that was...
That's the thing, because you just hear that same similar sort of mechanism, that noise, you just think,
that's weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's... Okay. Let's try this one.
So that's Whistable at Christmas. Pretty sure.
Oh my goodness, I love the Dapper Dans so much. I just can't, you can tell straight away, it just makes me smile. I love it, love it, love it. And the organ chimes they used, they're so cool. Really historical instrument that are really difficult to play, apparently. But Dapper Dans. And I'm sad, I think they're now... Previously, you could just encounter them anywhere on the street. Now they've sort of been up on the train station, a little bit down the middle in one of the trolleys. I'm hoping that they're just going to be walkabout soon again. And the cadaver dance during the Halloween season as well amazing.
Oh, yeah, the cadaver dance. That's great.
It's but, just something you walk through, you get into Main Street, and you just hear that sound. Just if you've timed it right and... It just takes you straight back to being there.
And those guys are immensely talented, like incredible singers and showmen as well. Yeah. I absolutely rate them in terms of entertainment in the park. I will stand and watch the whole set every single time, no question. Everything else can go on around me, but I'm staying there.
Okay. Let's try this one, because I don't think anyone's going to get this one. I think I listened to this one earlier and I struggled.
I know exactly what that is.
See, I knew what it was, but I couldn't place it.
And I hear seagulls, too.
I think that might be flies on our house.
We're at the... This is so lovely all of a sudden.
The ambient sounds of Ashford.
It's wonderful. Love it.
I mean, that's seagulls, going, actually.
Claire, you don't know what that is? John?
Is it a monorail that we can hear?
Yeah. Is it?
And if it's the monorail, then you're not going to get that kind of sound from anywhere except that loop that goes into the park in Epcot. I don't think.
You could get it when you're in the walkway between the Magic Kingdom and Grand Floridian. You can get it there too.
Right.
And possibly if you're at the Contemporary at the right spot where it's passing. But I don't know where that video...
Epcot.
That was Epcot? Okay.
Was it?
Yeah.
Is there anything in the background that tells us it's Epcot? Right. I can't hear it.
It was by the Imagination Pavilion.
Okay.
Oh, really? Huh.
So you can just hear the music. Water just in the background.
Is that monorail that we showed the picture of on the... The fireworks, the fireworks.
That rather great picture.
The 29th of from was it Disney? Disney wise, go out and check. Go out and check their website. I'm sure they've got the monorail passing on there as well.
Come on, Ben. I'm not doing very well here.
Okay, I'm hoping you get.
I think
this
John's
one,
winning.
Nah, there's no winning. There's no winning involved in this. Right. This is just taking.
We're all winners.
Taking you back to a special.
Oh, just let it keep going.
I'm going to rant.
So lovely.
That shouldn't be there at all. We should have a song.
It should be a song.
One little stitch, one little seed.
Where's the song gone?
Just make believe.
Your tiny little seed.
Go on then, Jason. You said you really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I love this song.
Oh, we just ruined it completely.
Never mind.
We did. Oh no! I love that old, the old Living with the Land song is just, I think for us, is just so missed, because actually, it just, again, just earworm time. It just stayed in your head forevermore. And this one is just like it is. It's the end of that whole journey, and that, mm-hmm. and that sort of, in a way, a reacquaintance with the fact that you've finished the quiet part of the whole ride, and you're coming in, and it just sort of is plugging the brain back into the fact that you're back into the Land Pavilion.
Mm-hmm. So you don't like it?
And the next thing you're going to do is you're going to see how long that standby line is for soaring.
Or is this, John, where you put the cucumber back where you shouldn't have borrowed it?
Oh, I hope we're talking about vegetables.
You see, I was going to avoid any smutty retort there, Jason, but, you know...
Veggie, veggie, fruit has a new meaning.
Excuse me, sir, is that a cucumber in your pocket? And it's not me, it's never me who brings down the tone of this show at all, you see. And yet I always get the blame. I always get the blame for it.
I didn't have it in your pocket, at least. I thought it was in your hand.
All right, okay. That's even worse, I think.
So
you get locked up for that.
I this attraction, though, Living with the Land, has become mega popular recently. The queues for it have been
crazy,
surprisingly long.
It's because it's amazing.
It's because we can't.
Because everyone gets a free cucumber.
if you go back about 10 years, and it was walk on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was unloved. It was just one of those rides that people just never bothered with. And then mm-hmm. Fastpass Plus came in, and so you were forced into that tier B of choices,
right,
for Epcot. And then people say, "Well, I'll tell you what, we'll do Living with the Land." Because I'm not queuing up for 15 minutes, because it always used to be walk-on. And then from there, I think everyone's decided, do you know something? It's quite nice, this ride. Quite like this.
But I like the I like the sounds all the way through, because you have like the rainforesty bit, and then you have the deserty bit, and then you have the bit with the house and the dog and the cockerel. And, you know, it's really cool.
The what? The cockerel?
Sorry.
Rooster.
Oh, the rooster.
Cockerel.
I thought Dan Cockerel's there.
He is somewhere.
That's so weird.
Immortalized somewhere. Right,
Dan, right. You're retired. It's okay.
He's living in the house.
Yeah.
That would be. Can you imagine?
Maybe he's redoing the song instead of Living with the Land. I'm living in the house.
Living in the house. like a bear.
Yeah.
I think the sounds on that attraction are amazing, because you've got the water running all the time anyway.
Yeah.
And then you've got all the different sections.
What's your favorite section of the greenhouse?
Ooh.
You hate it, don't you?
You hate everything in there?
No, it isn't that.
It's like, it's vegetables.
Just before you go into the,
I didn't know Sammy was back.
Just before you go into the greenhouse, there is a sign. Yeah.
And announcement.
And an announcement that there might be wasps.
Oh, I've never seen that or heard that.
Yeah, well, there is. Because I have a bit of a...
They're talking about Protestants?
No, the little insects, stingy insect wasps.
Really?
Yeah.
And I have a little bit of a phobia. And
but they've got far more ladybirds than
we didn't realise until
and
we were.
Yeah.
Ladybirds are everywhere in there.
I don't mind ladybirds. Ladybirds are nice. Yeah. Ladybirds don't sting you.
For the Americans listening, those are ladybugs they're talking about, I think.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
The other thing as well, though, American wasps are different from the ones that you get across here.
They're bigger.
The ones,
exactly.
Yeah. I've never been stung by a wasp in America. It's just like they annoy the life out of me in the UK.
But what I don't want is to go through the greenhouse, to have a wasp come near me, and for me to have a panic in a boat with 20 strangers. Yeah.
I was going to say, you just jump out and just... Join the person who's stealing the cucumber.
Don't step on the sand.
I've never seen the sign or... Never.
Next time you go on it...
There's so many signs that say, don't step on the sand, because the sand is like special mineral sand or something. And it always makes me think of the death desert in... Return to Oz, the things disintegrate when they hit the sand. I was like, that'd be a cool ride if that happened.
I'll tell you what as well, it's also worth a mention, because we've done Behind the Seeds as a tour, and actually to be on the greenhouse side whilst the boats are coming through is the most surreal experience, because you actually feel as if you are basically on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just, it is really bizarre. It's the most bizarre feeling, and it is so amazing. It's such a cheap tour, but also one of the ones that you certainly
cost effective, John. Cost effective. Yeah,
that's it. Cost
effective. Value.
Value. Yeah, that's it. But it's brilliant. If anyone's never done it.
Still trying to think of my favourite bit in the greenhouse. I think it's probably the bit with all like the. Where the melons and tomatoes and stuff are growing up, the twisty things.
Yes.
Twisty bits.
I don't know how to.
We're going for technical terms. Don't matter, Claire. That's what I would have said.
Yeah, the hydroponic section is really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, the bit where there's like all the the wires and they're growing up the wires rather than spreading out. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's called hydroponics if you read the signs.
Okay. We're British. We don't read signs.
Unless they're about insects.
Unless they're about wasps.
It's like going to IKEA.
Oh, and go the wrong way.
You get a flat pack of stuff. You don't read the instructions. Put it together. That's it. We can all do that.
Sometimes they don't come with instructions.
No,
or if they do, they're in
separate pieces. What's your favourite bit, Jason? Ben. What's your favourite bit of the
greenhouse? Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, I think it's the same. I love the hydroponic section.
Yeah.
The twisty bit. That's the correct name.
Sure. Twisty bit.
Do you know something? And this is something that really fascinates me, is the people are in those labs, you know, towards the back end of the ride. I've not seen people in there for such a long time, and I wonder how many people actually were employed originally when Epcot first started to do all of that sort of scientific part of it, and they're basically just.
Or were they animatronics?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly it, Jason, because actually...
And they've had to repurpose them to Spaceship Earth or something.
stick some yellow tights on them. And...
Yeah, now they're Italian. They're Renaissance, man. Weren't you tending to the tomatoes? No.
A liver issue. It's...
Okay.
Okay, I've got another one here. Let's go for this one.
Oh. Now we're there.
Yeah.
Now we're there.
Haunted Mansion. Liberty Square.
Bell of the ferry boat at the beginning. Just.
I heard the bell. I don't know if that was a bell coming from the.
The paddle boat.
Yes, is that the sound of Claire sailing off away from me?
Quite possibly. Waving as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it was. Haunted Mansion.
Haunted Mansion.
Love that.
Beautiful.
Something
and that's intentional wind, isn't it? That's not just like here with the magic wind. That's like
eerie.
It's meant
wind.
To sound like that. Yeah.
It's meant to sound so eerie, clever. Wind and creepy.
And I'm not sure anywhere else really has that direct
intentional wind
effect.
Lots of places.
It's very directed, isn't it? I'm not sure.
Well, the caves on Tom Sawyer Island.
I've been in there once.
The queue in Pirates.
Okay. I'm wrong.
The Trying to think of other wind. Where else do they do that wind sound? Well, in Disneyland, anywhere around the Matterhorn, you get that nice sort of cave-ish wind sounds.
Everest, that's what you discovered earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wrong.
It's just something about that area, especially.
But none of those areas make it sound creepy.
Right? No. It is very
special. Well, the cave.
It's how it's just paired with the music. You just hear the music gently in the background.
It sounds like autumn.
Oh.
So Halloween.
Halloween.
Mm hmm.
Leaves rustling.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Claire's unconvinced, but that's okay.
I am unconvinced, but I think I the sort of the dampness.
Do you know what season Halloween occurs in?
Summer in Walt Disney World. Yeah. July and August. I think that sound from the Haunted Mansion, the key, that's like the external area queue line bit. I kind of smell it a little bit. It's like that damp air. Almost like, you know, a hot Florida day. Yeah, a hot Florida day where it's rained and then it's drying out and it's like that sort of strange, that comes to mind when I hear that.
My brain, the smell of mildew?
Well, that kind of works, you know.
It is, isn't it?
Dungeon? Well, that's what the Pirates' Queue smell is sort of like that, right?
It's got that musty.
Well, yeah, that too, but there's that musty, damp basement smell to it. Yeah.
I haven't been in many musty, damp basements, but
no?
I don't have a word for it.
You should get around.
Ben, what's the next sound?
Oh, wait a second. So this can only be two things. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to ask.
Claire won't get it.
So the park is either. So are we in Magic Kingdom or are we in Animal Kingdom?
Neither.
Neither.
Play it again.
Ooh. Ben.
Okay. So you know what I thought it was at first? At first, I thought it was like a vehicle moving off, like maybe it was the loading area for either the safari or was it, but it didn't have the right background sounds, and then or maybe it was the loading area for even Jungle Cruise, but that didn't have the right ambient sounds either. But then when you played it again and you hear that beginning, that little like that's unmistakable. That's Galaxy's Edge. I assume we're in that Rise of the Resistance area.
Yeah.
Because you
what's the big whooshy thing at the end?
That's a spaceship.
Yep.
Flying over.
Oh, that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they fly.
And you hear all of it throughout all the Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The best sounds I always find is the queue. For Smuggler's Run, when you're just walking behind the Falcon.
Yeah. Oh, and the dialogue that happens there.
Yep.
And like the thing that almost blows up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was almost a disaster. Yep. Yeah, okay.
To carry on walking.
She has, Claire has, she's gone. Doctor Who?
Claire spent 30 seconds in exploring Galaxy's Edge.
I didn't even spend that. I walked in and straight into the Rise of the Resistance queue and stood there for 45 minutes.
The Rise of the Resistance queue has some amazing sound as well.
Yeah.
And a waterfall. Did you know it has a waterfall? And it has a backside of water?
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not grand. The best queue to be in when it's broken down.
Well, it depends on what scene you're in.
It depends. If it's a long queue and you're outside in the Muppets, it's not the best themed.
So what I always want to do is when you're stuck in that room where you have the, it's like you're on, it's almost like you're on Hoth, which it should be. Yeah. Let's be honest. But and you have that big like that battle screen up it's like blue in color and it's translucent. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I always wish I had like a wax crayon kind of thing, and I would just get up and start like writing. Here's the plan, guys. This is what we're going to do. Start writing.
Oh, I love that.
You're going to go here. I'm going to go this way. And then when the cast member gives you order, you're just like, I just wipe it off.
Leave it on, see if anyone notices.
Yeah.
But it's all written on there, on whether it's imagineer coding for something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
who knows? Might be. Yeah. Some pictures of it. Yeah.
Can I just add another little bit for anyone who's listening to this? And if you've got a holiday planned, and you would care to go and just find your own little piece of ambient sound, send it to us, because actually we could do loads and loads of different things with this in different shows, and we will credit you, I promise. But it's the most amazing thing, because once you find a certain sound, it's getting a really good recording of it. And I think that'd be a brilliant thing for people. If you've not joined us at the Waffler's Arms on Facebook, do so. If not, just send us that as an email. Was it waffleon@gbmickeywaffle.com? There you go. But send us your favourite little bits, because it's dead easy to record it just as a recording on your phone these days, and the quality is really good as well.
Yep.
Go on, Ben, one more. Okay.
Good point.
Now, for anyone who's listening in the car and playing the game we mentioned earlier in this show, we do apologise if your kids now sing that song for the next 7 hours of your journey from Glasgow right the way down to Cornwall.
But it's okay, because you should ask them to sing it in different languages. It's a learning opportunity. I love it. I love that. Yeah. I love that. I mean, I know it's annoying for some people, but...
It's just something so special, though.
Yeah, I love that. I love the sound of that attraction. Of course, it's Small World. Now, the question, though, is that recording from Magic Kingdom or is that Disneyland?
It's Magic Kingdom.
It's Magic Kingdom?
But it's not outside Small World. Because you don't hear the music outside. So
is it in the queue area? Noise,
lots of,
not in the queue area.
No, I think it's somewhere. It didn't sound enclosed. It sounded like you were outside in the open.
So are we in Fantasyland at all at that point? We're not. We're in the... Are we in the entrance plaza to the Magic Kingdom? Oh, clever.
The tunnel.
Clever.
Just straight down Main Street.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
And then just wait for up with the titles just to click in next as you get through. There you go. Sorted.
I see here.
Soundtrack to a day.
See, the only other time I've heard that sound was in Disneyland Paris. Outside the front.
Yeah.
I've never been.
Yeah. Haven't you?
There'll be an opportunity for you to go at some point, Jason.
They keep telling me that. At some point.
Great ambience sounds in Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
A lot of soundscapes and material there.
Speaking of soundscapes. I was going to say, Becca, what a perfect segue.
Speaking of Small World, not that we don't turn people off.
Tell everybody about soundscapes, because I know we've mentioned it. You probably have a far better way of describing what this project is all about.
I think you did a beautiful job. Soundscapes is all about what we've experienced today. It's about being able to immerse yourself in these Disney spaces, often quiet places and quiet moments of joy, but sometimes not. Sometimes, you know, like it's the sound of Test Track that you're looking for. It's the sound of your favorite attraction or something. I know Claire, for example, loves the soundtrack for Soarin'. So of course we've featured that in the past. It was just this thing, this idea that kind of clicked at some point in the past year, where, you know, we were busy producing a lot of videos and bringing people immersively into the space in that way, And a lot of times when we're doing virtual reality videos, recording those soundtracks for that in three-dimensional sound, and it just kind of like became obvious, like, oh, wait, we could actually, for people who are driving in their car or walking down the street who can't watch a video, at least you shouldn't, while you're doing those activities, you can be in your happy place, you know, with your headphones on or just listening to it in your car or, you know, having it playing on your smart device of some sort, and be in these spaces. And that's what Soundscapes is all about, is just taking you and immersing you into your favorite Disney spaces and places. And it's all recorded in three-dimensional binaural sound, as it's called. But you don't need any special equipment to listen to it that way. You just pop some headphones in and go on your day.
Claire, I think you've described it before as like you had the opportunity to listen to, was it the Skyliner, without actually going on it? Because I know you wouldn't.
Absolutely. Yeah, so actually I feel like I've been on the Skyliner and experienced all the sounds of it and the, you know, the... You can almost feel it moving without having to go on it, which for me is a good thing because obviously I'm not a big fan of heights. So maybe you can do one on Soaring. but it is. It takes you to places that you either have been and you want to revisit, or places you haven't been, or you don't. You know, I guess it could work in the other way. It could give you some reassurance if you're worried about it. But yeah, for me, I think the Skyliner one was really interesting because it's something that I'm. It's not something that I'm planning on doing, but I feel like I haven't missed out because I've been able to immerse myself in the sound and the experience. So, you know, it's just a different experience. So, yeah.
Well, and as you guys know, what's wonderful about this medium in terms of podcasts is you can enjoy it just about anywhere, doing anything. You can do it privately. You can do it as a family. You can, and with Soundscapes, we've done enough now that you can pick a time of year. Like if you want to experience Christmas in Hollywood Studios, you can do that. You can be in that space and you can pop the headphones in and no one has to know that you're listening to, you know, with the Christmas tunes at Wilderness Lodge, or, you know, if you're a proper British citizen and you happen to want to listen to the patriotic music of Liberty Square, no one needs to know because you can just dial it in on your device. And I think it makes it so much more accessible and on demand this way.
I think what people do, they will choose certain favorites. I know mine is very much the Pandora episode. Mm-hmm. It's my go-to of just sort of, you just want that little bit of a sort of just chill out, a bit of, taken back to our happy place, put that on, or Spaceship Earth. I've got to go down the list. Oh. Spaceship Earth. There's so many, Jason, and I think you've done very well so far to Thank really you. Get such a range of different experiences. And you know, I think for everybody who's listening to this, I hope we open their ears to something that maybe they've not explored previously. You know, and it is very
existed.
And I think that's what I hope.
Well, I certainly appreciate you helping with that and getting the word out there, because it's a joy to make them, and it's a joy to share them, and I think it's important to for Disney lovers to be able to reconnect to these spaces when you need it. Yeah, there's times in your day you're just like, I just need a little bit of this.
Can I ask the really obvious question now? Because this is maybe something that, if somebody is coming across this for the first time, where will they actually find it? Because a lot of your previous content has been very much YouTube, Facebook based. This isn't. This is very
right here. Wherever you're listening to this assuming you're listening to this in podcast form, this is, you just search for it. Search for Soundscapes by Here with the Magic. Yeah. And whether that's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever I happen to use Downcast. There's all sorts of podcast providers out there. You can search for it, and you should be able to find it that way.
And if you're watching this show on our YouTube channel, I'll put the link to the podcast in the description below.
Yeah. You can also go, if you want to cheat, you can always go to hearwiththemagic.com/soundscapes, and that will take you to it as well. But you should be able to add it right from your whatever the podcast providers wonderful. That you're listening to.
Wonderful.
Every Thursday, a new episode every single Thursday.
Every Thursday, God willing, 7 a.m. if everything goes right, if we toggle the right button.
So that's
7 a.m.
midday in the UK.
7 a.m. Eastern time. Not Queen's time.
I was thinking the same thing, Claire. Nice.
It's so 1 p.m. or no, so 12 p.m. Depending on.
Unless it's that weird week, like in March.
Just don't bother.
Let's not confuse people.
It'll be ready by supper.
Yeah.
Right. How about
that?
The easiest option, if you just press subscribe, it'll just download
then
it to your
magically.
To your phone
then it's just there.
When it's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jason, have you got other places you want to record? You know, obviously you've got a portfolio of Soundscape episodes already. Have you got this massive list of other places you want to record as well?
Well, we have a massive list of places that we are either have recorded or we're going to record, of course. There are some spaces that are a bit of the, you know, Moby Dick of, like impressions is one of them, which hopefully we'll actually be releasing soon. I think it's spaces that I haven't been to that I want to be able to capture. This is something I've been doing since I was a kid. Like, I loved recording things on a cassette when I was a kid, like a little portable cassette recorder, and I just loved that, and being able to go back to those places later and remember what it was like. You know, it's similar to the old Viewmasters that some people may be familiar with and things like that. I just love that. So for me, it's about some of my favorite sounds that I haven't gotten yet would be the electric water pageant is one.
That wonderful 8-bit sound.
I think it's hard to get on attraction sounds for things like Space Mountain.
Yeah.
But those are some pieces I'd love to get. Pirates is another one. Like, we have Pirates. I'm not real thrilled with it. So it's getting it the right way is important to capture the essence of it. And I think ambient spaces like Disneyland Paris or Shanghai Disneyland, places like that would be amazing to get as well. I mean, getting any Epcot pavilion without the sound of a concert going would be good. Japan, like unadulterated Japan, would be great.
It's about a week.
What about you guys? Are there spaces? Are there spaces where you, if you could go back to one space, listen to it over and over?
Oh,
I think for me, it's Main Street. It's the, but actually, at Christmas in Disneyland Paris.
Oh, you had very to specific. Say Paris.
No, because they have a very specific hub loop.
Oh yeah.
John, you know what I'm going to say? It has Chantsinoel. It has the most beautiful music, and I can just listen to it, and I'm there. I know exactly, and I know what's coming next as well because I've listened to that loop so many times. Mm-hmm. But it is, you know, the big tree, and it's cold, and it's the Snape is happening every 20 minutes, and it's just perfect. The Christmas time in the hub or on Main Street in Disneyland Paris, definitely.
For me,
and the arcades, do they have their own ambient sound as well that are different than?
Yeah, they do, but they're very subtle. Yeah. There's no over bearing sounds, but it's, and they're quite boomy. The acoustics quite boomy because they're quite closed in.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the roof, is the ceiling is not too high. Lots of shiny surfaces, so you get quite a lot of sound refraction. So,
but that's the cool thing about these spaces, that when you're listening to it. Especially like a walk around of some sort, when we do it that way, you kind of can orient yourself in a space based on those types of features. So it's, if it gets, if it, if you're imagining that Disneyland Paris space, when you hear that echoey sort of hollowed sound, then you know, I'm in
and
this
actually they're really
spot.
Cool, because if you go up one arcade, you go, you would go from the hub sound, entrance plaza, Main Street music, you go through that arcade and come out in Frontierland. So you get something completely different.
The transition is different.
Yeah, and then the other one, you come out into Tomorrowland. Mm-hmm. So you do get two completely different experiences at the, you know, from the central starting point, and come out with something different.
That's cool.
I hadn't really thought about it.
That's cool.
Mm. It's very cool. Ben, Becca, what's yours?
I think for me, it's in the hub in Magic Kingdom, just about when the marching band are going to start, you just see them enter, walk around, and then just they're just in front of the castle. It's on the stage.
Yeah, I'd probably go for something similar, but also not just in the hub, but also with the railroad back. Because, like I say, I could actually. You just knew. It's one of them weird sort of feelings that you knew exactly where the train was on the whole art loop around Magic Kingdom, and it wouldn't matter which land that you were actually in. You were always just aware of it, and you're always just, oh, there's a train. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There's like a little reassurance there. But with everything else, again, irrespective of land, I can't narrow it down to one particular place, simply because each place has a different feeling. You know, the Fantasyland, certainly with the new part of it, and with having the Seven Dwarves, and you've got that little chinking of the little bell, ding 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 ding, and you hear it every time, and it's just like, I love that. I think I could just stand all day and just absorb that with the railroad going around, with the sounds of just everybody passing. It's the most beautiful thing, and it's, again, going back to what I said probably earlier on, is the fact that people need to just take their noses out of the phone and just try and absorb mm-hmm. this, because it is something that, you know, in most cases it's deliberately done, you know, and it's part and parcel. You know, I think Becky, you said it before, it's about, it's like making a photograph come to life. That's what the sounds do, and it's beautiful. It really is, and I'm so pleased that we've had the chance to actually share so many sounds. And actually, like I said before, if you're going on holiday, go and record stuff, send it to us. We'd love to hear it, because for everybody, you've got a different. Everyone's got a different place and a different special memory. But
where would they send it?
They would send it by email. You can send it to us at waffleon@gbmickeywaffle.com, or just go to our Facebook community, The Waffler's House. Drop it in there and tell us, look what I've recorded. And we'd be dead proud. We'd be dead proud of you. You get like sort of everybody coming
gold
on.
Star.
Special really badges or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But any way like that, because actually this is something, this isn't just a one-off. I think we need to make this part and parcel of exactly what we've become, because I know we've talked an awful lot, we've waffled an awful lot about music, we've talked about photographs, we've talked about rides, but this is another part of the Disney magic that very often just goes sort of forgotten about.
And there's one special spot. There's one special spot that I've been wanting to do. We haven't been able to yet, and I'm waiting for the railroad to get back, and that's to sit up there at the top of Main Street, right up in the station at the end of the day, and just sort of get that sound, that sort of transition sound. Oh, that's that's
wonderful.
Yeah,
absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. I know. take this right back there, and I tell you what though, I'm going to bring this whole thing to a close, because we could talk all night. We honestly could, and we could actually share probably that whole journey from Glasgow down to Cornwall on people's holidays in mid-July. But Jason, it has been such a privilege, as always, to have you on the show. Thank you so much for the
Thank you for having me, and this is, and thank you. Yeah, this has been great. And I love you guys, and I love the topic, and yeah, it's good.
And we'll make sure everyone goes out and checks out Soundscapes.
Oh, I appreciate
please
that.
Please do. Please do. And that's about it for this mid-month show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being there. I'll see you as soon as I possibly can. But until the next time, it's Waffle On from me.
Who goes next?
I'm waiting for Claire to say it.
Next.
Waiting for me.
They're waiting for...
For Claire who never says
no,
it.
No, they're waiting for me because I never say it. Waffle On from me.
And Waffle On from us.
And Waffle On from me.